better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
And today being a new day, it's a new show. Got a lot of things that we are going to get into today. A lot of fun things, mainly talking about Chad Morris and his press conference yesterday as he met with the media, some of the things he had to say. Also want to get into Bobby Petrino's Little Rock Touchdown Club speech that if you haven't got a chance to watch that or listen to that, we have some clips for you. And it was pretty fascinating, especially if you remember some of those good times that Bobby had. But we're going to discuss that. And of course, Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette is also going to be joining us on this Toyota Tuesday on the Morning Rush. So be sure to check out all new 2019 Toyota vehicles at your local Arkansas Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room up to 8 people, the stylish new Corolla, the work-ready family tough Tundra, and the go-anywhere 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. From yesterday, Chad Morris met with the media around noon, and it's funny because we, of course, at HitThatLine.com, we have our man Andy Hodges, who goes up there to those press conferences at the U of A, and he films them, and he puts them up on our website and on our YouTube page and everything. So if you haven't been to have a chance to check that out, be sure to go to HitThatLine.com.
You can subscribe to some of those feeds, so if you just want updates as they come along, it's easy to do. Just follow along.
Yeah, just hit subscribe. Very easy to do. And it's crazy because yesterday, well, this was about late last night when I was shoring up some things and looking back over the highlights, if you want to call them that, of the press conference. They had more views on that first day of a Chad Morris press conference than I've ever seen. Now, it's not saying that's the most that they've ever had as far as views go, but what it told me is that there were a lot of people, a lot of you, that were interested to hear what Chad Morris had to say after having a couple of days to let it all sit with that loss to Ole Miss. And, of course, the biggest news coming out of it was the fact that he has Nick Starkel listed as QB1.
Yeah, and that came out, I guess, just, minutes before he actually spoke when they gave out the new depth chart and all of this stuff. And I thought his comments about, when he was asked, okay, what went into that decision? I believe it was Trey Biddy that was asking the question, which you can hear the Hog Hustle coming up tonight with Trey and Danny West. What went into that decision? And his, and I guess you're going to play remarks, but I found it interesting. He really summed it up by saying, it's really not anything Ben did or didn't do. We're just looking for a spark. That was, maybe we're just reading too much into his very word, but that's all we've got is what the coach tells
you.
And, it wasn't really anything Ben did or didn't do that led us to making this change. Okay. I think fans probably wanted a little more explanation than that.
Yes. In fact, here's one of the clips and one of the explanations that he had for starting Nick Starkel.
It felt like that coming out of half, it wasn't so much what Ben did or didn't do.
Yeah.
It's what Nick did. And we were looking for a spark, something to get our offense moving, create some momentum, create some yards, give an opportunity for some big plays. And that was our decision going into it. And Nick will be our starter.
I hear that, and it's not that it doesn't sit well with me, but I'm like, what you just said about the fans, I wanted a little more. I wanted you to tell me why Nick Starkel is the guy, not just because of providing a spark, but because he's better at this. He did this really well. He knows this, and this, you feel confident with him, and the team's confident around him. Not just say he provides a spark.
We got into this a little bit yesterday. Maybe it's what my eyes wanted to see versus what they were seeing. But it looked to me, and I was watching the game with a group of guys, and everyone pretty much came to the same conclusion. The team seemed to play faster. I don't know if harder is the right word, but there seemed to be a little more sense of urgency and energy. Now, when you're a team that's coming out of the locker room and you're down, and Clay talked about this yesterday, you can only imagine the conversation at halftime. Maybe you're getting it in gear a little bit more. So I don't know how much of it was what occurred in that locker room with the coaches versus, does this team just want to play harder for a quarterback? I think it's a reasonable question to think, do the other 10 guys on the field just go to another gear or play a little harder for one quarterback versus the other? There seemed to be, for whatever reason, at least they shifted into a little higher gear when Starkel came on the field. Now, whether it was the tongue lashing, as Clay put it yesterday, or whether these guys just want, A lot of times the team will choose the quarterback. And maybe that's what we're seeing a little bit here. I don't know. I guess we need more game evidence.
I mean, I can't argue it. It would make sense.
Yes. But when you were watching first half versus second half, those early possessions of the third quarter, did it appear to you like the team was responding a little different?
Yes.
A little more juice, a little more energy?
No, and to me, what that showed me is that that's the other 10 guys on the field had more confidence in Nick Starkel. Now, it's,
maybe we're reading that into it, but I'm just saying there's a different level of play, at least for a while.
Yeah, well, it's because, and I know that I'm going to keep referencing this because, again, we'll play some more clips, but it's even like Bobby Petrino said yesterday at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. He was asked about what goes into selecting a quarterback when you have a quarterback battle, kind of what Arkansas has found themselves in. And one of the things that he brought up is he's like, you know, a lot of cases about a quarterback and how good they are is not about how good he is, but about how good you can make the other 10 guys around him and how that can always be a quarterback's best friend. And he mentioned not only just in the talent and coaching, but also in their confidence level in that QB. Yep. And I think that that goes a long way with the situation they find themselves in right now, because there's no doubt, like you said, and like we've been talking about, that team, those other 10 guys on the field, responded and responded in kind when Nick Starkel was named the starter at halftime. They came out, and I think that there's always going to be an element of excitement when there's a change, especially a change at quarterback. I mean, there's excitement when there's changes at head coaches at schools. Even if the coach isn't the best hire of all time, there's still just a little bit of an excitement level. And I think it's the same way even on a team. If you change the most important position on the offense, and especially for something that you've been struggling with, there's a little more excitement. There's a little more juice, as you like to put it. So I just feel like after seeing all that and seeing how the team responded and seeing just how just a better product was put on offensively. It wasn't just Nick Starkel. It was just, it looked like a completely different offense. It looked like an offense that knew what they were doing, that were really confident, that just had it all going for them. And so that's, I guess, where it all comes from with Chad Morris and saying that, hey, we wanted somebody to provide us a spark. Nick's provided that spark. He's earned it. So he's QB1. But still, listening to Chad Morris's comments, I don't know how confident he is in that. I don't know if that's actually the case or not. But who knows? Maybe we'll hear more from him, I guess, on Wednesday night or Thursday night, whatever night it is that he meets with the media on the field. We'll probably hear more from him as well. Let's get into some quick hitting headlines presented by Williams Tractor.
Yeah, they have the nonstop workhorse for your nonstop world. It's the Power Star family of tractors made by New Holland. Six different models to choose from 64 to 117 engine horsepower. So whatever size you need, plus two different cab options, the open air ROPS platform or the spacious Vision View cab. Learn more about the Power Star family of tractors. You can find them right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers.
So a few headlines last night. I don't know if you got a chance to watch any of the Monday night football games,
What's
Tommy,
some of the second game? I did not get to see the New Orleans game early.
That Saints-Texans game was about as good as you could ask for a game.
It's tied up with some family stuff, and then I watched some of the Raiders game late and fell asleep watching that one.
So yeah, really good games, though. Saints get the victory 30-28 over the Texans. The Raiders get their victory, minus Antonio Brown. They were able to do it somehow, 24-16 over the Broncos there. And other news, too. Lynn Swann, the USC AD, has resigned. I can't believe that didn't work out, Tommy. I cannot believe that Lynn Swann was not a good enough athletic director to work out.
Well, I'm telling you, being an AD is about being an administrator anymore. And it's not just about understanding athletics. There's a lot to it. And I don't follow the USC situation closely, but I'm like you, not really surprised.
No. In fact, I fully expect USC to name Will Ferrell as their next athletic director because, hey.
That would be fun.
Hey, it would be fun. It would be exciting.
Let's go streaking by the quads.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
So we've been discussing a lot of things that Chad Morris had to say in his press conference yesterday. Of course, go to hitthatline.com to watch the video in its entirety. And the decision to start Nick Starkel is not a surprising one. And in fact, it's the right decision by most people that are involved. I think that even non-football people like myself, I don't analyze the games. I don't read defenses or anything like that, but I do know good from bad. I do know when a team looks good and a team looks bad. and the team looked bad offensively against Ole Miss in the first half, and they looked better against Ole Miss in the second half with Nick Starkel at the helm. But the question is it just a decision like that, like changing quarterback, like putting Nick Starkel in, which we all agree is the right decision, is that enough to get this offense going, to get them to score points? Can it be enough?
No, I don't believe it is enough. I believe you got to get the offensive line, who, you know, against Portland State looked better last week with Austin Capps out, didn't look, you know, obviously didn't open the holes for the running game. They got, what, 61 yards? So, I mean, Nick Starkel by himself is not going to fix this offensive problem, because Nick Starkel can't open a crease for Rakeem Boyd or Whaley to run through. So this offense won't work unless you can run the football, until you can get to the point where the opposing defense isn't loading the box, where you're forcing them to respect the pass game, play more nickel, not sending, not just disrupting and clogging everything up the middle when you want to run the football. No. I mean, Nick Starkel's going to have to be the guy. Now, maybe you can make the case, well, his arm and his passing talents can create that, but I still think you're going to have more balance in this offense and get back to what we saw week one against Portland State, where you're running for 200 yards. That's what will make all of it work.
Yeah, because
running the football always makes an offense go.
Yeah, and I was about to bring up that point too, is that I think that Starkel, of course, is better and talent, more talented at a quarterback, but until you can establish that run and get it consistently going, it doesn't matter how great of a quarterback you are, because, listen, that's in a lot of cases, that's your bread and butter, especially with this type of offense that Chad Morris is reportedly trying to run. You got to be able to run the ball effectively.
So let me play the other side of this coin here. You know, let me look at the other side of it. Well, if you throw it better, they'll not load the box up as much. And there's some truth to that. You got to be good at one or the other. It's just, I think it's more effective for your offense when you're better at the run. There is some truth to the fact, obviously, if Nick Starkel can start getting first downs and touchdowns by throwing the football, opponents will respect it and back off the run. The problem Arkansas is having and has had last year and has had in previous seasons, and we've seen it so far this year, is you can move the ball between the 20s, and then when you get into a shorter, more confined space in the red zone, well, that's when the problems throwing the football start to really become an issue. We saw Starkel's interception in his first series against Portland State. You get into more confined space, it's just math. I mean, the defenders have less square footage to cover. It's just it, and that makes it more difficult to throw it in tighter windows. Also makes it more difficult to run. So, I mean, you've got to also figure out how to get it done in the red zone as well.
Yeah, you got to be able to take advantage of the opportunities when you actually have a chance to score some points. You can't do it that way. But Trailer Parker texts in to
Love
the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Yeah, I've been hearing people talk about KJ Jefferson. Put in KJ Jefferson. Listen, I don't think they're going to put in KJ Jefferson as the starting quarterback. Like, they're not going to do that. However, what Trailer Parker says is, hey, put KJ in for some of these Wildcat packages. Now, I don't want to see the Wildcat against Colorado State. I don't want to see it. Now, I'm not the coach. I'm not Joe Craddock, the offensive coordinator. I'm just going off of what I saw and how I saw how ineffective it was. I don't really want to see it. However, if you were going to run the Wildcat, though, that would be a perfect way to do it, is have someone like KJ Jefferson, who is a quarterback and is athletic enough and speedy enough to be able to beat you with his legs, too. At least that's what we've heard. So he has both threats. If you're going to run the Wildcat, do it with KJ Jefferson, not Rakeem Boyd.
Can you imagine if KJ Jefferson, I'm just throwing that scenario out here, not saying this will happen, but if you created these special packages, that's what we're talking about, and Jefferson comes in and, like, he's in the game three times and they score twice, like he has two touchdowns, either passing, one passing, one running. Now you're back to square one with your quarterback debate. Well, maybe this freshman kid should be starting.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, so that is, and you're trying to build stability and continuity for your football team. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it for that reason, but I'm just saying, wouldn't that be an interesting scenario?
Yeah. Which, you know, given how the Wildcat now effectively can be, like we talked about yesterday, unless you truly have the threat to pass the ball, if Rakeem Boyd truly had an arm and truly had the ability to do so, it kind of takes away from everything, because even Chad Moore said it in his press conference, I think it was yesterday, when he's talking about Ole Miss and what they did defensively, especially, here's what he had to say.
First half, I think that they were loading the box on us. You know, they really, going back and watching film, they didn't do anything out of the ordinary. They bumped their front a little bit, slid their front, but we see that every week against our defense. So that wasn't anything out of the ordinary. We've just got to continue to maintain our blocks, play with low pad level. You know, we got to be able to hang on the football too. But I thought we had some creases there. We were mixing some things up, and that was it.
So he was talking about Ole Miss stacking the box, getting eight guys in there. Yeah, that's exactly how you stop the run, yeah. But against a team, especially in the wild. And I know they did in other formations, but when you're doing the wildcat, but you don't have the threat to throw, the wildcat's never going to be effective when you have eight guys in the box constantly, unless you have Darren McFadden back there.
No, and unless your offensive line is going to open some creases.
That too.
Now, how do you get eight out of the box?
You throw it.
You throw it. Exactly. So, I mean, it's at the end of the day, the bottom line, what do you really got to do? You got to execute something. Some kind of some form of your offense has you got to execute the plays. You know? And you don't have to go for 40. Just go for 4 or 5. If you do that enough times, it's going to be okay. But you got to find something you can consistently execute, whether it's Starkle throwing the ball, whether it's Boyd running the ball, whether it's some other variation. And obviously, everyone desires to be balanced. You know who was balanced Saturday? It's Ole Miss. Where'd my stats go? They were almost even in rushing and passing. I mean, that's what you're looking for. So, say Ole Miss had what? 237 on the ground, 246 through the air.
Pretty balanced.
That's anybody signing up for some of that?
Nearly what people want to do.
Nearly 500 yards in half each direction.
That's what
Arkansas,
you want.
Arkansas 61 on the ground, 300 through the air. Now, you can score a bunch of touchdowns one way or the other. It doesn't mind. It still comes back to points, but you need to be able to do both.
Yeah.
Kind of like a basketball team that lives by the three. If some night it's just not going to happen.
It's not going to work for you.
It's great when it works.
Can't be a one-trick pony.
Right.
You got to be able to mix it up a little bit. Let's go to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963. Don is in Greenwood. What's going on, Don?
1 point. I like what you said about not being an analyst. I ain't either. But I can tell what's good and what's not bad, what's not good. Y'all asked me last week that what was wrong with the offensive line, and I really didn't have an answer. You kind of had me tongue-tied. Y'all thought the offensive line was awesome. You could tell today, this week, it's not. I like what you said about Colorado. They're not scared to come in here. This weekend, I think we get beat. Now, if we don't get beat, the only reason we don't get beat is because of Starkle. Okay, he's your spark, if you will, and I'm not sure he is. But if we don't, if we win, it is simply because of that quarterback. With that being said, if we score 35 points, well, now we're in a shootout because our D lets them score 35 points. If we're in a shootout situation, we lose every time. Now, I have a simple question. Those who can't teach, that is true. Just because he's a good recruiter, is he a good coach? I'm not putting the guy down, but I'm starting to have a real problem with his family living in Texas. I'm starting to have a real problem with us just losing. I wasn't a Nutt fan either. I was a Petrino fan. But at this point, I'll take Nutt back because I knew with Nutt, at least in the fourth quarter, we stood a chance. And that we're not seeing anything. I'm just wondering if we were sold a bill of goods. I think he's losing. He's losing the Hogs, and it ain't really even him. It's Fayetteville, period. How many coaches do we still have on the payroll? And I believe this cat is going to be on the payroll once he's gone. We will get rid of him. If we don't, then it's going to be a Clemson situation where he needs to hire the offensive coordinator, a.k.a. Chad Morse. And we need to get that missing link. What is it that we're missing? Because we are not seeing anything what this cat promised us. That's all I got, guys. But I do think we lose this weekend, too, because Colorado's going to come and they're going to run on us. They're going to beat us in our own hometown. You boys have a good day. Thanks for letting me talk.
Hey, appreciate it, Don. Listen, obviously, Don is off the Chad Morris bandwagon, just like many of you are. And here's the thing. Don says that he has Arkansas losing this weekend. I can't argue right now with him. I can't say, that's not one of these
crazy predictions.
Yeah.
But hey, Don, that, you know, no one's saying that. You're the only one. I mean, yeah.
Well, because Tommy, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most confident, what's your confidence level that Arkansas wins this weekend?
About a 3 or 4?
Yeah.
Man, I'd like to, I mean, you want me to be honest or you want me to lie to you?
Well, yeah. Here, I'll lie to you. Be honest.
10, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to go out there and win it all.
How do you have supreme confidence based on what we've seen for 14 games? And it's, listen, it's not just the 14 games Chad Morris has coached. This is the last 100 games. This goes back to 2013. That's what, I mean, I don't think our emotions or our feelings are any different from you out there listening. We're all frustrated. We're all head-scratching, angry fans right now. That's why we're fanatics. Why we get more calls following a loss than we do wins.
And wins have been few and far between.
Arkansas wins 42-7 this week. It'll be a quiet post game.
Oh, yeah.
Arkansas loses 28-24.
Record numbers of listeners and calls.
We're all frustrated. We get it.
Hmm? And here's the thing, too, is I actually got asked this on Twitter, and I didn't realize it was so controversial yesterday. But when I was speaking about football and how important it is at the University of Arkansas, and how not only just for the fact of people, the fans being so invested, but the finances and all of that, you know, people were saying, "Hey, I'd rather take a College World Series run than actually being good at football. I'd rather be great in baseball and bad in football than great in football and bad in baseball." And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, "Surely you can't be serious. Don't call me Shirley." But football is king.
King.
You have to be at least interesting.
The prince.
That's right.
No question.
That's right. But you have to be at least interesting in football. And what I mean by interesting, we all want to be good, but not everybody can be good. You can't be good every year. You can't be Bama every year. You can't be Clemson every year. Because even those programs, 10 years from now, who knows what they'll look like. But in football, you have to at least be interesting enough to keep the fans involved, to keep the fans entertained, and keep the fans emotionally invested.
Yeah. Brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. Lock in your price for 2 years when you call WOW Now. If you have opened your cable bill, if you've opened your current satellite plan with another company, and it's now $130 or $40 or $50 a month, and it keeps going up, tired of all these access fees for boxes and rooms that maybe you're not even watching TV, call WOW Now. Bring your bill in, corner of Phoenix and Rogers Avenue, or call them with your bill and let them go over it with you. They can show you how to get 3 TVs in your home for less than $85 a month, and that's a 2-year price guarantee. 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474 with installation within 48 hours with World of Wireless.
But there's no doubt, folks, that if football is interesting and you're still emotionally invested, you want to be angry right now. You want to be frustrated, and you want to voice that, because as we saw a little bit last year and even the year before, and I know we've talked about it a lot, the worst type of fan base is an apathetic fan base where they just don't care anymore. And you got to still care. Like, this is still a football program that many of you grew up with, many of you remember the good times with, and you still got to be there, and you still got to be just invested into it. And that's what makes it so tough, especially over the past few years, and what's tough with this right now is it's very difficult to stay engaged with it, to stay invested, and to still get your hopes up and still believe right now.
Yeah.
It's tough.
I want to go back to Don's call. Don mentioned that he is fed up and frustrated, or fed up at least, with the coach's family living in Texas. Does that bother you? Do you care about that?
No, because if he's winning, it doesn't matter.
Exactly. I wonder how many out there care about. I think that's an unfair. I think that, you know, I know how I would be if I had had my family in a community and established in their, you know, kids in high school and those relationships. It's a big deal. Uprooting your family. I mean, but that's the life of a football coach. That's the life of many of our great men and women in the military, you know, so on. So there's many walks of life and jobs out there require a lot of, you're moving around every few years. Coaching can be one of those walks of life. Mm-hmm. So, we hear this sporadically, but obviously when you're not winning, those little things become big things.
Of course.
You think that's a big deal with, or do most people even put that in their calculations? I don't know how much people really care that his family isn't Arkansas.
Is his family being here going to win him games? I mean, is that going to be the difference of winning and losing games? No. And if it is, I have some more questions. And it's kind of worrisome if that's the case. But his family living in Fayetteville or living in Northwest Arkansas is not the difference. And like you said, these things get blown up even more. It kind of reminds me of Bielema's first year when Jen Bielema tweeted out hashtag karma.
Right.
Did anybody care about that? No, they thought it was okay at first until they started losing. And then it became a big deal.
We don't take a lot of calls with that opinion, but we have a few. We see it on our Cherokee Casino text line on occasion. It's not a popular opinion, but it's out there. I just wondered, do you really think that's making a difference in the bottom line?
I don't, personally. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And there's a lot of things that people will bring up about Chad Morris and about the staff or whatnot that are small things that don't really matter. It's about winning.
Matt in Springdale says they could live on the moon for all I care, just win.
Yeah.
I think that's how a lot of us feel, Matt.
Yeah. Because, again, if he was winning right now and his family was living in Texas, I'm sure everybody would be like, hey, family, stay in Texas. Don't even come up here. Just stay down there, Chad Morris's family. He's doing just fine without you. And that would be the feeling. But, again, when you're losing, everybody just dives all into everything, trying to figure out ways to get upset. New ways to get upset and saying, well, I don't like this, I don't like that. I mean, it's just, that's the way it is with everybody and every coach too. And they just point out, well, it's kind of like the thing with, you know, at the end of Brett Bielema's tenure when he was losing, people kept bringing up, you know, his weight issue that he had and gained all that weight. Anybody have cared if he was winning? Mm-mm. No, they said, hey, man, eat and drink all you want. Go crazy.
Let me bring you a pizza.
Exactly. It's as long as you're winning, everybody just overlooks everything.
What can we get you, coach? Bourbon or whiskey? Which is it?
Yeah. And going back even to Bobby Petrino when he was winning. You remember when he had those harsh words for Les Miles across the field that he was caught on camera doing?
No one cared.
You know why? Because he won. And he was great. And everyone's like, yeah, that's my coach. But if he would have done that after going 4-8, people would be like, get this clown out of here. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. Let's go back to the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Ryan's in Van Buren. What's going on, Ryan?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, you know, I texted in towards the end of the program yesterday, and I don't know if it made it in. You know, we're kind of caught up in the fact that, you know, 14 games under Coach Morris in second year, and that's true. But how much of that team is even left? This is almost like another year one here with so many of those players being new. I think you said yesterday something like 50-something freshmen, and I'm assuming
52.
That's red shirt.
52 with red shirts and the incoming players. And that doesn't count like new players that are like a Ben Hicks or a Nick Starkel that's – they're not freshmen, but their first year in your program. You know, that doesn't even count them in that equation.
Exactly. So, I mean, it really, can we even look at last year as anything? I think we're now game two. And, I mean, I was one of the ones. I was optimistic for 7-8 wins. Yeah, it sounds great. And I even predicted them to win yesterday. But it was a dream. But, you know, it's one of those things where I just think we've got a long way to go. We're rebuilding the program. And we're at ground zero, and it's not going to happen overnight. You know, some of these people need to come in off the ledge a little bit, you know, get real to, you know, look at Kentucky, how long it took Stoops to build that to a program that could even do what they did last year.
Well, Ryan, and just to go off your point, though, and look at it from the other side, I don't think it's anybody looking at last year and saying you went 2-10, so therefore that counts against how bad of a coach Morris is. You got to get more specific with, because I think people are looking at specifically the offense and how it doesn't, whatever he's trying to do, if you don't have the talent, that's one thing, but if what you're trying to do and how you're trying to install your offense and how you're trying to establish it, no one has seen it yet. I mean, 14 straight games, and we still don't really know what this offense is trying to accomplish or what they're trying to do. And I think yesterday we talked about the only game that offensively looked good as far as points and yardage was Alabama last year, and that's the only game you've had. So it's not just the 2-10. It's about how this team has looked going 2-10, and I guess 1-1 this year as well.
Right, and I agree. You know, there's that question mark, and I think I texted you earlier in the year, you know, paralysis by analysis. So busy trying to put the nuts and bolts together that you missed the big show. I was frustrated. I was listening on the radio because I was traveling. The difference in first half, second half, and when I heard those gimmick plays, the alleged Wildcat, which wasn't, but that play, you know, you're throwing this double pass and everything else when we can't even get a basic offense running, and you're throwing gimmick plays instead of just focusing on getting these guys to be able to stop a defense coming across and to give a running back, give a quarterback time. You know, some of those wide receivers should have been playing cover corner because they couldn't catch nothing. Yeah. And I think that's where the frustration is, but I have to pull myself back and say, you know what, this is a 3 to 5 year plan, and we're just now at the beginning of year two.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Thanks for reminding us.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Thanks for bringing the truth in here and reminding us, Ryan.
Well, you know, I don't want to be a downer. You know, Don kind of depressed me, but, you know.
Well, I mean, sometimes we just have to face reality on things.
Right.
And the reality is you got a really young roster, and you're really, you know, when you start counting on freshmen to make plays in the SEC, it's not always going to go well.
Oh, absolutely. And I watched that Colorado-Nebraska game, and if Colorado State played that well against them, we might be in some trouble.
Yeah.
But have a good day, guys. Thanks for taking my calls. And, hey, yeah, we'll get there. Just a matter of when.
There you go.
Appreciate it, Ryan. Appreciate the optimism, my man.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
Yesterday, a lot of you probably knew all about this. Maybe some of you even attended. But at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, Bobby Petrino made his return to the state of Arkansas for the first time since 2012. It's been a long time since Bobby had ever come back. And since he left and since all of that situation, which we don't need to rehash, happened, there hasn't really been a lot of closure to it all. There really wasn't anything other than Bobby sitting there in a neck brace talking to the media, even though at that point in time he was still saying, hey, I was the only one on the bicycle, and it was fine. And then after that, all you got was a letter from Bobby Petrino or a statement saying, sorry for what I did, it was bad, yada, yada, yada. So that you really haven't had a whole lot of closure, and people always remember the good times with Bobby. But yesterday, David Basil and him sat down in front of a packed-out house there at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and he had a few really interesting things to say. But the most important thing that he had to say was an apology.
You know, when I was contacted about coming here, I immediately shocked Frank when he called me, and I said, yeah, I'd love to. And I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, about it, but I wanted to be able to come here and apologize to everybody, the fans, the players, and truly tell you how sorry I am for the way it ended. But I also wanted to come here to thank you for everything that people in this room and in the state did for me and my family. You were great to us.
He got choked up a little bit.
Was he getting emotional?
Yes, he got choked up there for a bit. And, you know, that right there, there's other clips, of course, that we'll play. But that right there, you know, I'm going to be honest, Tommy, hit me in my feels. Because seeing that and seeing him come back and just being able to say that, you could tell from him. Because he's, let's be honest, you can look at Bobby and say you don't trust him, you don't believe anything he says, and because he does have a reputation, let's be honest. But seeing that, though, man, it was kind of just a nice little, it's okay, Bobby, we forgive you. Because the program's really down right now, and we love the times that you were here, and it was good, and we wish you could have stayed.
Surely no one believes he would still be your head coach had he not made that stupid error.
No. Right now?
On April 1.
No.
What, 2012. No one here is believing that,
no.
Right?
No.
Or if he had not lied, and they did, or if he had been willing to accept a suspension, or if it had just played out differently where he could have returned following the incident. Does anyone still believe he would still be the head coach?
I don't.
Because even when he went on, now, the only place he's went to, had success, and left, and everything wasn't a mess, was Western Kentucky, right?
Well, I mean, when he left Louisville the first time, they were in pretty good shape. People were upset, but they were.
But there was still controversy. Wasn't there some?
There was that with the Auburn job that happened,
Plain Gate or whatever. And,
yeah, but that was the best situation as far as health of a program that he left it in. It was probably the first time Louisville, but it doesn't happen often. Didn't leave the Falcons that way. Didn't leave Arkansas that way. didn't leave Louisville the second time that way. Yeah. There's been problems. And I'm not
for all the people that have the and listen, we all want to return to the good times.
Of course.
Just in eight and all of us that we long for the good old days. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days, is the judge singing. You know, it's nice nostalgia, and you had a nice, and really it was a 2-year period of greatness or really goodness, however you wanted to classify it. There still wasn't a division title, still wasn't a conference title. There was a Sugar Bowl appearance that you lost. I mean, but it's the best you've been in decades.
You were a top 10 program.
You were a top 10 program. Unfortunately, it came along at a time where you had two other really good programs that had it rolling, national title level play in your division.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that was during a time too, and I know you remember this, Tommy, that the SEC West was as strong as ever.
I guess it's three, really. I mean, we got to throw Auburn in there, and I was thinking about LSU and Bama, but it's really three other programs that were playing at a national championship contending level.
Yeah.
In your division.
Yeah. So it wasn't like it was just you were good because everybody else was down. You were good because you were a really good football team.
Yeah.
And those are the times that people are going to remember, and they remember the talent, they remember everything that came along with it, and the fact that it ended the way it did at the time it did when you had just come off a number 5 ranking where you finished in the polls, a Cotton Bowl victory. You're returning a lot of key pieces the next year. There was an excitement at an all-time high, and ever since that point, you haven't been able to even really get close to that feeling again. And
well, I mean, it seems like it set the program back 10 years.
It did.
When do you get past this? And the reality is you found your coach with Petrino. It didn't last. You had your coach with Nutt before that. I mean, I know there's varying opinions about Houston Nutt, but he made it 10 years at a SEC school. That's something. You know, before that, you struggled. Danny Ford wasn't the guy. Jack Crow wasn't the guy. I mean, you have Hatfield. You've had Nutt. You've had Petrino. And other than that, all these other guys, over the last 30 years, you've had three successful coaching stints, really.
Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases,
one of them lasted, 10 years at the school. He had his ups and downs, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't leave Arkansas because of, him being too successful or anything like that.
Tired of winning titles.
Yeah, that wasn't the case.
I mean, you say Nutt had the back-to-back losing years and then, pulled his hiney out of the fire in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
2007 was a disappointment. He leaves to go to Ole Miss or quit it or whatever happened there. But golden handcuffs.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, you look since Hatfield came in the mid-80s, I mean, a little over 30 years. I mean, you had a good run. You had Frank, then you had Holtz, then you had Hatfield. And then, when you got off on the, it's all about finding the right coach. You had the right coaches in those situations. And, Bielema made all the sense in the world on paper and didn't pan out. You're hoping Chad Morris can be the next guy, can be your coach, can be the one you've been looking for to get this decade or going on a decade of just really lackluster football turned around.
Yeah. And I think adding into the mix of how difficult it is to find a high quality coach and keep them at your school is what's kind of scary and why these coaches are revered the way they are. Cause we have people texting in to the Cherokee Casino hotline talking about, oh, please, Petrino's just about himself. He's not sorry. He's trying to invite for a job. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe he is. But you know what I understand? I understand how difficult it is to win at a high level in college football and how difficult it is to win at a place like Arkansas. And the fact that guy did it, and he did it at a level that Arkansas hadn't seen in decades. And that was the only time, just in the past 20 years or so, that you really felt like you were a high-quality national championship team, and you hadn't even been close ever since.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Bobby Petrino had to say, yesterday at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. And first off, when I saw a picture of Bobby, I felt really bad. I was like, man, he's gotten old. Looks like Jerry Jones out there, man. He's got a lot of gray. It's amazing.
I didn't think he'd aged that much, though.
Maybe it's just a bad picture I saw. It looked like he had aged a lot to me. But, of course, it's not like you know, in my mind, I still have the Petrino and, you know, in his Sugar Bowl hat and him looking the way he did there. So maybe that's
still got him in the neck brace.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like,
he didn't
neck
look
brace
good that day.
No, he did not. So that's still the thing that I have in my mind as far as how everything went. But, you know, he was asked a few things, not only just about the situation and how it all happened, but also just about the program and about the situation that Arkansas finds themselves in. And how tough it is. And in fact, he was asked if the Hogs can get back to the point to where they're successful once again into that high level. That's what Basil asked him. Here's what he had to say.
Oh, no question about it. You know, it's always going around in circles. It's the toughest conference in the country. There's no question about that. And the toughest division. Besides Alabama, you know, everybody's had their ups and downs. So it's just one of those things where get a young group, you're able to keep them together. You know, we were fortunate to be able to keep our guys all together, and they took their lumps when they were freshmen. We played a bunch of freshmen. They got better when they were sophomores, and we went to the Liberty Bowl and froze, but got a victory. And then the next year, you know, we had Ryan back again, all those young receivers and tight end, and were able to, you know, bring us down to the BCS bowl game down in New Orleans. Or I had to do a much better job of coaching. You know, that was one thing that we always took from that game was scoop and score.
Because,
you know, it's really my mistake not working on it enough and not being able to do it when we blocked the punt. And then we came back the next year when Ryan was gone and Tyler Wilson stepped in and did an unbelievable job and brought us to the Cotton Bowl, which was a lot of fun, you know. That's where I first started. Was I was here as the head coach, but I was watching another group of men coach our team at the Cotton Bowl, and that's when I first started to really understand what it meant to be a Hog and what the fans were like, and a really enjoyable moment. You know, there's no question about that.
So he obviously went through about Arkansas and how the process went through and his time at Arkansas and how they got to the point that where they were at.
Well, I mean, the key to the whole thing was Mallett and Wilson and two great quarterbacks. It's always got to start with, you know, SEC, all SEC caliber quarterbacks, two guys that got shots, and Ryan had a long career as a backup in the NFL and few starts under his belt in the NFL as a quarterback. Tyler was in the league about three and a half seasons. And, you know, just, you know, before he moved on and elevated his career by joining the Morning Rush.
That's right. That's right.
That was a much bigger deal.
That was the end game.
A much bigger deal than playing in the NFL. But, you know, but that's where it starts, you know. And then you add in, you know, some of the other great players like a Joe Adams and a Ronnie Wingo and, you know, and the running backs. But they had serviceable offensive lines. They had good defensive linemen, good defensive ends, but they were an offensive-driven team that scored points, period. But you can't do that without a good quarterback to start, a serviceable SEC offensive line, and the other skilled players they had around, like a Joe Adams, a Jarius Wright, Kobe Hamilton. You think about the wide receivers they had, you know, just unbelievable the talent they had at wide receiver.
I mean, they had, at a time, in 2010, they had four NFL-caliber wide receivers. If you really think about it, I know Joe Adams didn't work out and pan out, and obviously Greg Childs battled injuries, but when those guys were in their prime, there was no doubt that they were four wide receivers that had the chance to play in the NFL.
Right.
And then adding into the mix a quarterback, two quarterbacks at least, that were good enough to play in the NFL too. I mean, that alone takes everything else.
And I guess Nile Davis was he his best running back?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I don't think he's close. And yeah. I mentioned Wingo.
And really Dennis Johnson was really good,
right,
too.
Should mention him. DJ was a really good kick returner.
Oh, man.
Really good kick returner.
But, yeah.
And kick returners aren't as valued in today's game because of the new rules with a fair catch and getting the ball at the 25. But and that came in about the time they were leaving. So
yeah. But that was the thing, is you just mentioned that some of the athletes that he had and how what a difference they can make as far as just having them on your team and getting them in position to be successful and being able to break something loose. Because even Chaz tweeted in here and says, do you think Bobby was really that good of a coach, or did he just get lucky with the in-state talent during that time? Well, I think it's a combination of both, Chaz. I don't think you can overlook the fact that Arkansas had great in-state talent during that time under Bobby, and not only just in-state talent, but they also had a guy named Ryan Mallett who grew up a Razorback fan and wanted to come in here. They had a guy named Kobe Hamilton and Dennis Johnson that were from the Texarkana area that were so close. Yeah. They were pretty much in Arkansas. So
go to Warren.
Yeah,
those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Chris Gregg, and you had a few other guys. By the way, Grant Cook, the offensive lineman, took exception to your serviceable offensive lineman comment. He's joking.
Sorry, though, Cookie.
He's just letting you know. But
I'll tell you one place they were elite at, center.
Center. And I'm glad you brought that up because that was going to be my next point when it came to the offensive line.
How many Remington Award nominees and winners did they have? You know,
he started with the Weegs and ended with Travis Swanson.
Right.
So one of them's still in the NFL.
More than serviceable.
Yeah. There you go. Let them know. More than serviceable. But, you know, something as simple as that, though. Because now we're
seeing. Listen, we would take that offensive line right now.
I mean, you.
Maybe at those guys' ages right now.
Would you not? I mean, Tommy, you would take, of all those 11 starters, you'd take every one of them right now. Or just like, even if you had one of them over what you have now.
Okay, but if you could get three, where would you start? See, it'd be tempting to say Mallett or Wilson. I'd have to start up front. You talk about improving this team. If you could go back to those teams and get one of those.
So would it be Swanson?
You'd have to start with your best lineman, yeah.
Yeah. Especially at the center position.
I mean, because where is this team still the weakest? And I know they played better in week one against Portland State, but they're still not opening holes for the run game. I believe these wide receivers are good. I believe these running backs are good. I believe Starkle is going to be good enough at quarterback. It's still all going to boil down to whether or not the guys up front can open the holes. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, C.J. O'Grady at tight end, that's the other place they were really good at for a long time. And not just under Petrino, but this program and this state has produced a lot of really good tight ends. D.J. Williams in that era was probably best amongst them, but boy, there was a lot of good ones.
I say Gregg had him and Hunter Henry probably have had the most time in the NFL.
Yeah.
So
but that came after. I mean, I'm just talking about during the Petrino era.
So. Well, yeah, Gregg was during the Petrino era. So
okay.
That's just what I was referring to. Is that he said
Hunter Henry is.
Well, right, yeah. I was kind of comparing the two.
Excuse me.
Yeah, but anyways, they had great skill position guys. But as you mentioned, those skill position guys wouldn't have meant a flip if they didn't have an offensive line up front to help them out.
All comes back to.
Yeah. And sometimes I know that we get caught up with all of that, especially during those years when it was so good of all the skill position. Because let's be honest, as far as you look at the overall core of skill position players, I don't think there was another time in Razorback football history that you come close to that when it came to wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Can't come close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. And also helping that you had two high-caliber quarterbacks to throw them the ball and run the offense. But that offensive line was a difference maker. And it goes back to, even if you want to go full circle and look at it this year, just how much different things would be, how much different this offense would look, how much different would the results be in these games if they had an offensive line that was fully capable of being able to carry the load right now. I'm not saying they'd go from scoring only 17 points against Ole Miss to 50, but it would certainly make up for a lot of the mistakes and a lot of the misfortunes that they're having right now. That's my whole point.
Morning Rush is brought to you in part by the Catfish Kitchen in Van Buren. Tonight is all-you-can-eat crab legs. Stop in beginning at 4 o'clock tonight. Former Hog Adam Daly, this is his joint. You're going to love the atmosphere, the service, and the great food. The food's what's chief amongst it at the Catfish Kitchen. But they really do a good job of taking care of you. When you sit down, they're going to start you with a big bowl of hush puppies and pinto beans. Their coleslaw is just delicious. And then all the other fixings, the peppers, the onions, all the stuff that, you know, traditionally comes along with it. And tonight is all-you-can-eat crab legs, and that comes with all the fixings, plus your dessert and drink as well. If you want some great catfish, they got a three-piece dinner, and I promise you, you better come hungry if you're going to eat all three of these fillets, all right? Just $11.29 for that, and that's with fries and all the fixings as well. It's at the Catfish Kitchen, 727 Fayetteville Road, at the top of Logtown Hill, right across from the police station in Van Buren.
You know, last Friday, we had former quarterback Tyler Wilson here on the Morning Rush, and he was discussing everything about the situation with Arkansas and previewing a little bit of the Ole Miss game. Well, you know, specifically, Bobby Petrino was asked about our very own Morning Rush, Tyler Wilson, and he had some really great thoughts about Tyler.
Tyler could really throw it. I mean, he could throw with anybody. Some of the throws he made better than Ryan could. We were fortunate, I guess, that he got mono. You know, his freshman year, he came in the second half of the Alabama game and took us right down and scored. And then we come out on Monday and he's sick. And he's really sick and diagnosed with mono. And he couldn't practice for, I think it was 6 to 8 weeks or something like that, because your spleen enlarges when you get mono. So they wouldn't even let him out on the field. But that came back to save him some time there at the back end. But he could throw the ball as well as anybody I've been around, and he was as tough as anybody I've been around. You know, Chris Redmond was a guy that was really tough that I coached at the Louisville. But Tyler, he would take a licking and keep coming and stand in there and just show courage, which helped our entire team. You know, he was as tough and as courageous of quarterback as I've coached.
He also had some other comments later talking about Tyler and saying he's essentially Tyler as far as all-around quarterback may have been one of his better ones, even though Lamar Jackson ended up winning Heisman Trophy over at Louisville. But he had some really good thoughts there about Tyler.
Tyler's toughness is always going to be just the way he played and the shots he took and the way he stood in there, knowing it was coming. I've always said it may not have been the biggest play or the most impact, but because of the game they ended up not winning. But at Alabama, it was a Hightower coming right. He knew the middle linebacker blitz was coming. He's getting ready to get hit with a sledgehammer in the chin. And he still threw it, I believe it was to Hamilton on the back line of the end zone.
Either him or Wright, but yeah.
That's not the point. The point is he knew a Mack truck was getting ready to run him over in the middle of the highway right there at Bryant-Denny. And he just stood in there and took it and threw a strike on a rope to the back of the end zone.
Mm-hmm. And that's honestly.
You can see it. I mean, it's just right up the middle.
And honestly, Tommy, that's something at the quarterback position you don't really see very often anymore. Because quarterbacks are a lot more, they have to be more finesse. They have to move around. They have to make sure they stay healthy. And in a lot of cases, you don't see them step into their throws because of that.
I think they're coached that way a lot of times.
Right.
Because there's not, you don't always have in that case, I guess it'd have been Brandon Allen come in, next.
Yeah.
So you don't always have the next guy that you really can put your faith and trust in. Arkansas was fortunate to have a succession, and we've talked about that at quarterback. Arkansas's got to get back. Chad Morris has got to rebuild the quarterback room till there's a clear and obvious succession plan to the quarterback room. And that's been the issue, really, I guess, since the Allen brothers were done,
Mm-hmm. It has been an issue. And I know I'm just going to open up a can of worms here real quick before we get into the Hog update. But if that doesn't happen in 2012, the motorcycle wreck and all that, I think we all know and we all agree that he wouldn't have been here still today.
Right.
He would not be the head coach.
What history says.
Yes. But how would you have seen it playing out knowing he was getting the Allen brothers? Because I think that the Allen kids were coming to Arkansas regardless.
Agreed.
Being able to still...
Brandon
was already there. Yeah, he was already there.
2012.
But
2012.
Just knowing all those things, though, how differently would this program have looked like, or how different would things have gone, and how successful could they have maintained? Like, I don't see a 3-9 season under Petrino in 2013.
No. They'd have continued to go into Texas and places and get kids. That was the one thing he still understood. He maybe didn't recruit Texas as hard as Chad Morris is, but... he understood the value of going to Texas and getting players.
Yes.
Something Bielema knew nothing about, apparently. Go to Louisiana and get players. Go to Missouri. He got players out of Missouri. It would have never seen the lows it's seen. Would the highs of 10 and 11, would those trees have continued to grow to the sky? I don't think so, because Alabama, LSU, and Auburn were still there, and A&M was joining the league at the time. So... some guy named Johnny Manziel came in with him. So, but I'm with you. The 3-win, 4-win, 2-win seasons that we've all had to endure wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And what people kind of argue with that is saying how he stopped recruiting and the cupboard was bare. You know what? I don't think it really was as bad as what people say, because if you looked at it, he left behind some really great pro athletes, like guys like Trey Flowers and Chris Smith and Tevin Mitchell and Travis Swanson. Even guys like an Alvin Bailey, a Chris Gregg that were only there for a year after he left, but there was still some really good talent there. And so it's just unfortunate, because, listen, we still look back on how long that is, 7 years, 7.5 years that happened. We still look back on it. We still look back at the good times, but it just makes me really hope, Tommy, that 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we're not continuing to still look back on it.
It's got to get fixed, and fixed now.
Yeah, it has to happen. All right, let's go ahead and jump right into your Hog update.
Arkansas football. It's the players running through the A. Hog hats. It's more than 70,000 fans calling, "Woo pig suey."
It's a great day to be a Razorback.
Guys, I've got just one thing I want to say to you.
Touchdown, Arkansas!
Arkansas wins the major championship! The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season!
This is your Hog Update on the Morning Rush.
All right, it's time for your Hog Update, presented by Ozark Sportsman Supply.
Hey, if you didn't know, the Ozarks now prints high-quality embroidery and screen printing in-house. They have bought the latest, newest, state-of-the-art printing and embroidery equipment that's on the market today. They can custom design a logo for you if needed. They can take your logo with their cutting-edge printing and embroidery equipment and put it on virtually anything. T-shirts, canvas, leather, denim, and so much more. And with the holidays just around the corner, get all those great gift items you want with your logo on it from the Ozarks. High-quality printing and embroidery now available in-house at the Ozarks. That's Ozark Outpost Clothing and Footwear and Ozark Sportsman Supply. Highway 412 West, barely out of Springdale in Taneytown.
So for your Hog Update, I guess the big news, of course, yesterday is that Nick Starkel is named QB1. Not surprising to anybody. It'll be interesting to see that now you have a full week of practice where he's going to be taking the first team reps. I wonder what the team does and how they respond. Because, Tommy, I'm going to tell you, if he comes out against Colorado State and starts throwing dimes and this offense really starts moving, it's going to be even more frustrating because people are going to react of, why didn't you do this earlier? Mm-hmm. That's how people are going to feel. But that was the big news coming out yesterday. But also, in some other news, great news, Tommy. Arkansas gets a night game in Fayetteville, guaranteed. San Jose State will be at 6:30 next Saturday in Fayetteville.
It's not the Auburn or Mississippi State game, but at least you know you have one.
Yes, so. You got one, which apparently, this is what's dumb. Alabama put out a statement from the president and the athletic director voicing their understanding of the fans' displeasure that they have another 11 a.m. game next weekend. And they said that they are working to try to make sure that they get this fixed. And I just sit there and scratch my head. I'm like, why? You're not playing anybody. You get an 11 a.m. kick. Deal with it just like everybody else has to deal with it.
Well, they've had more than their share last year that they normally get because Alabama doesn't play 11 a.m. games. They did last year, and the problem is, you're so good, and you blow out people
watch you.
That the television networks, the TV partners realize we can't hold an audience for 55-3. You know, if the score is out of whack, no one's going to spend any time watching this outside of the state of Alabama. There's other, and that's part of what you've done when you've put every game on TV. You've created tons of competition for your own games and your own league amongst yourselves. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
I'm not going to cry over Alabama having to play at 11 a.m.
No, I will not do that.
Get used to it.
Yeah, because they're playing Southern Miss. So it's not like they're playing South
Carolina. Even geographically, that part of the country, that doesn't stretch. Yeah, exactly. That doesn't stretch out and say, you know, they're playing a non-conference team in the mountain or Pacific time zones that's going to bring an audience in there. You know, that's right in the same region of the country. Hattiesburg.
I did think it's kind of funny, though, Tommy, that another 11 a.m. game in the SEC is Tennessee and Florida. Do you have ever dreamed in a million years that Tennessee and Florida would be an 11 a.m. game?
We got to quit looking at the 11 a.m. game as some kind of punishment.
That's how people view it.
Fans view it that way because you got to get up early. It interrupts and messes up your tailgating. You know, you're drinking mimosas and screwdrivers instead of something else before the game. You know, I get it. It's not convenient. Everybody arrives at once. Traffic a lot of times, and when it's highly attended, is worse. Usually, 11 a.m. games have benefited or favored the road team because the crowd's not into it. You got to sit in the sun the whole game. I mean, I get it. You'd rather play at night. It's more cool and comfortable to watch the game.
Games are more fun and electric.
People are sauced up a little more. I get it. But being, you know, people used to say, well, that old Jefferson Pilot slot. Listen, back then, there was only like two games a week in the league on TV, maybe three, and you enjoyed, you took it, it was a badge of honor to get one of those spots. And you were playing in a big game.
3Ds. Yeah. Dave Baker, Neal, and whatever the other one was.
Every game wasn't on TV, so you were very happy to play at 11 o'clock to get on TV.
Oh, yeah. I remember growing up and just being how excited I was to actually get to watch the Razorbacks on TV, even though
we take it for granted now.
Oh, I know, and that doesn't seem to change, but you know, these 11 a.m. kickoffs, if I'm an Alabama fan, I kind of like those. Cause it's like, hey, especially against a lesser opponent, get out of the way so we can watch the other games the rest of the day, the really good games. Maybe that's how I view it.
Well, and part of it is the league gets out of the way for the most part. It's the 2:30 CBS game, and then they have their one game in the middle of the afternoon. They pretty much vacate the window there and make sure CBS more or less has an exclusive.
Yeah.
Because the other game that's played at, what, 3, it's usually not, you know, not one of your high-profile games.
Yeah. Because next week, the 2:30 game, it's going to be a great one, Texas A&M and Auburn in College Station.
So, you know, they make sure that CBS more or less has the stage to themselves because that's, you know, they pay the biggest chunk of money. So,
does Arkansas play a 2:30 game on CBS this year?
Well, they're going to play a 1:30 game on CBS.
I'm not counting that one. I'm talking about the 2:30 game.
On a Saturday?
On a Saturday.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Because they didn't last year.
I mean, Arkansas, they're going to have to surprise some people.
Yeah. I mean, and it's going to have to start this week against Colorado State. They can get some things moving. But you know, that's the concern the fans have is just not the fact that they're not going to play a 2:30 game on CBS, but just on the fact that right now, I mean, because Tommy, I know we're kind of taking a different trail here, but Tommy, if they lose this weekend, I mean.
How many people will be there for the San Jose State game? How many people will be there for the Colorado State game?
Will Chad Morris be there?
If they lose these next two, I don't know that they could or should make a move, but it will certainly be a topic of discussion.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.